I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Once you find 1 Corinthians 9, find verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 22. Then would you stand with me, please, everyone standing together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're not talking now, we're just listening. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 22, the Bible says this, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." I call the sermon tonight, "Some Goals That I Have for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church." Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the sermon. Father, bless us tonight. I'll ask God that in a special way you reach down from heaven and you still some of the young people. I certainly do not want to be harsh with them tonight. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help to calm them and then help them to calm themselves. The sermon is more important than anything else going on in this auditorium. I pray that we'll all see that. Spirit of God, help me as I preach and help these as they listen. And might our church be made stronger. Might Jesus be glorified because of what's said in this place this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. In the passage of Scripture that I just read to you, it is the Apostle Paul that is speaking. One verse I'll point out again. He said this. He said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." What was this? Paul was saying that I have a desire or I have a goal, and I'm going to work or strive to meet that goal or that desire. You say, well, what was his goal? He wanted to get some people saved. He said, to save some. And Paul said, he said, I'm willing to change me if I need to be changed for the cause of Christ. That's why he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I'm become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, you got to understand, when he says all means, that does not mean that he will stop believing the truth or stop preaching the truth. That's not what he meant. He said, I'm willing to adjust me if I must adjust me, and I'm willing to use my weaknesses, I'm willing to use my strengths, I'm willing to use whatever I have to use because I have a goal, and that goal is to save some souls. Sure, there were some people that needed to be born again, and he wanted to have a part in that, but not only that, there were some marriages that needed to be salvaged, he wanted to have a part in that. There were lives that needed to be placed upon a rock and stabilized. He wanted to be a part of that. So he wanted to save some souls and save some marriages and save some lives and save some families and save somebody's future and save somebody's dreams and very possibly save somebody's life, save somebody's health. He said, that's what I want. That's my goal. He said, I am made all things to all men. I'll be what I have to get that done. I want to see people saved, and I want to see lives changed. Now, I don't think Paul was willing to give up his doctrinal stand. I don't think Paul was going to give up his standards or his convictions to accomplish that. But there are a lot of other things that he was willing to do because of his goal. He wanted to get some people saved and for lives to be changed. Most of the time, when we think about goals, Pastor, I announced this morning what my sermon was called this evening. I said it's some of my goals for Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Right away, when we think about goals, we would think about, well, I wonder what preacher's goal is in regard to how many Sunday school classes we're going to have someday. This week, Brother Robert and I have been working on a little project, and he made me 6 more podiums so that we have them for new Sunday school classes. And you say, boy, preacher, what's your goal in regard to Sunday school classes? But that's not what I'm going to tell you tonight. You say, well, what's your goal about the number of bus routes that we'll have someday? And boy, when you start talking about goals for a church, that's what you would think we would talk about. But that's not what I want to talk to you about tonight. So, well, what size will the next auditorium be? Well, it'll definitely have to be bigger than this one. And I apologize, but that's the state we're in. But I'm not going to talk to you about that, though I have plans. I'm working on plans right now for another auditorium. We'll share that with you. But that's not the sermon tonight. You say, well, what is it? Will you tonight, are you going to share with us ministries that you'd like to see our church start? Are you going to share with us the thought of a Christian school? No. Are you going to share with us your desire to start a deaf ministry? No. How about your desire to start a special needs ministry? Well, I have that, but no, that's not my intent tonight. What is it? Are you going to start a Bible Institute or a Bible college? Might someday. I don't know. But I will tell you this. That's not what I'm here to discuss with you tonight. Well, preacher, do you have an attendance goal? Are we shooting for some lofty attendance? I have to tell you, I've had very few attendance goals in my life. You say, but wow, you've had some whopper big days in your ministry through the years. You say, what were your goals then? My goals then are just like my goals now. I'm going to reach everybody I can. I just want to reach everybody I can. No sense in setting a goal and then coming in under the potential that God had for you. And so we'll just reach everybody. But no, I don't have an attendance goal I want to share with you. Are we going to establish some type of a conference and maybe help other churches? That's not my intent tonight. My intent may be a little more our behavior and what my goals are for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you something. If the goals that I'm about to share with you, if we together as a team can fulfill these goals, everything else that you would normally think might be the goals, they'll all come to pass. If we will do what I teach you tonight, the number of Sunday school classes will be unlimited. The number of bus routes will be incredible. The size of the auditorium will be amazing. The ministries of Christian schools and deaf ministries and special needs and Bible institutes and big attendances and conference. All that's possible, but there are other goals that are far more important than those. And those are the goals that I want to share. For instance, one of my goals for our church is this. I want us to grow numerically, but not to become impersonal. Grow numerically, but not to be impersonal. That's where we get so caught up in numbers that we forget every person that's a number has a name. They have a life. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Folks, if we're doing the right thing, we will grow numerically, but you don't want to just grow numerically for the sake of growing numerically. I think we are going to grow numerically because we love people and we treat people right, and there has to be a personal touch within the church. The New Testament Church of Jerusalem is mentioned here in the book of Acts. And it was a model church. And let me tell you this, there are some of you who maybe you heard someone say a long time ago, you know, if a church starts to grow, it ceases to be impersonal. I do not believe that that is necessarily true. There are some people that want their church to stay small because they want to know everybody's name. Can I tell you something? You could know everybody's name if you wanted to know everybody's name. But if you come in here, plunker down, sit in your chair and never move and never go meet anybody, how did you expect to know their name? I want us to grow numerically, but we have to stay personal with people. The Sunday school classes will help with that a lot. But the different ministries, what happens is, so we have, you have the different bus routes. I'll promise you, the people that work on Brother Tyler's bus route, they know the names of the kids on that bus route. Brother Dave's route, he knows the names of the people on his route. Brother Ellswick, he knows the names on his route. The kids that come to King's Kids, Brother Dave knows their name. The young people, Aisha knows the names of the kids that come to her Flyers Club. The youth workers know the names of the teenagers that come. Every one of those Sunday school classes, Martha knows the names of the kids that come to her class. Mrs. Susan Smith knows the names of the kids that come to her class. All those little ministries, they are a piece of this keeping things personal. I'm not just trying to start a bunch of ministries, but when we have those little sections of people, it makes it so we get to know that little section of the church, and you get to know their name, and you get close to them personally. That's a part of it. Now, at certain times then, we all rally into the big auditorium, and you look at it, and you say, well, this is impersonal. Oh, no, it's not impersonal at all. We just all happen to be meeting in this one big spot, and you might not know every name, although you could. Do you know at what rate our church has been growing? About one person a week. That's not too hard to... Could you learn one name a week? You don't even have to know their middle name. I wouldn't want you to have to know three names. And in some cases, they'd be good if you didn't know their last name. Just know their first name. The problem is not that it's not possible. It's that you're not willing. It's not, you don't go out of your way to do it. You just want to gripe about it. And you'll be miserable because if we do what we're supposed to do, our church will grow numerically. We're not trying to grow our church numerically. We're trying to grow our church by helping people, but you get a church that really keeping people out of hell and it's really helping people, people are going to come to that church. It's the way it ought to be. We want to grow numerically but not become impersonal. The ministries will help us to achieve that. Not only that, I have another goal. My goal is this. My goal is that we build buildings and we increase the quality of our things here at the church. I want us to get what we need and get the equipment that we need and the outbuildings, but I have no interest whatsoever in destroying our people financially. We have, some of you were here, it wasn't long ago, I preached a sermon and I told you about all the marvelous things God has done for our church. The buses we've bought and all the, just everything that we've purchased. I want us to be able to have nice things, and I want us to have a nice building, and I want us to have our buses that we need, and I want to get a paint job on those buses and get some nice lettering on them, and I want all of that. But I want us also to use some sense about it, because right now we give and we like giving, and it's not this devastating chore. But we need to make sure that we don't try to get too much and get so much that we turn ourselves into a miserable church financially. So we're going to build buildings and we're going to increase the quality of our things, but not destroy everyone financially. Folks, if we just give as we're supposed to give, we'll be okay. Now, I have to tell you, through the years, I've watched churches get too much and put themselves in very deep, deep debt. And as a result of it, it changes the spirit of things. I'll tell you what also happens. You get in deep enough debt, the pastor will stop preaching about standards and convictions because he's got to keep everybody. He's got to keep everybody happy, and he won't preach the truth because he's afraid to lose people. And so he has to back off because he needs their offering. I recommend to our church that we keep just enough cushion in the offering coming in that I can throw a fit. And if somebody gets their tail feathers plucked, they can shoot on up the road and go to some liberal church, and we can still pay our bills. And you say, well, what, why? Look, I'm not going to grow at the expense of destroying your finances. I'm also not going to grow at the expense of destroying our heritage and the old-time religion and being Baptist and having standards and having convictions. So I do have goals. I want to grow numerically, but I don't want to become impersonal. I want to grow and get more buildings and more space and more things, but I don't want to put us into a mess financially. I have another goal. I have the goal that we win as many souls that we can, but that we also are doing what we can to have a follow-up program and to help them. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it tells us the Great Commission is not just getting people saved. It's getting people saved, getting people baptized, and then trying to train them. You say, well, what's our discipleship program? Our primary discipleship program would be our Sunday schools and then King's Kids at Flyers Club and Youth Ablaze. Let me tell you, we get them saved, then we bring them in and we're training them week after week after week after week after week. The Great Commission's not just getting people saved. It's three parts. It's salvation, baptism, and then teaching. I'm so glad that our baptistry will finally be open. We'll be able to baptize on a far more regular basis. See, we're to produce people, but you know, we're going to grow numerically, but there's another kind of growth. It's not just growing numerically. It's growing the people and watching them grow in the Lord and get that sin out of their life and get Jesus into their life. That kind of production, it produces a strong church. So, I have a goal. I want to win as many people as we can to Jesus, but I want to help as many of them to grow in the Lord as we possibly can. So I'm not just in the winning business. I'd like to be in the keeping business. You know, we need them to grow in the Lord. Some of you that are newer Christians, you're saved now. Congratulations. We need you to start learning and growing, and we need you to get that sin out of your life and get that Bible into your life. Because you say, why, preacher? Because you need to be a Sunday school teacher someday, and you need to be a bus worker someday, and you need to be an usher someday. So I've got goals. These aren't numerical goals. This isn't the number of bus routes we're starting, the number of Sunday school classes we're starting. I want to grow numerically, but I don't want to become impersonal. I want to gain buildings and property and equipment, but not at the expense of destroying ourselves, our families, and our church financially. I want to grow by seeing thousands of people saved, and we are, but I want us also to follow up on them. And I think we are. As you can see, we're getting people saved, but our church is swelling, and the new converts are sticking around, and that's how it ought to be. You see, I have some goals. Like Paul said, I'm shooting for something. I'm aiming at something. And that his goal was influencing and saving lives and saving people, their marriages and their families. Number four, I have another goal. My goal is that the truth could be preached and strongly taught here, but that we don't try to be offensive in its teaching and preaching. The truth, strongly preached, strongly taught, but that we're not trying to go out of our way to offend people. Everybody look right this way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Boy, he said, reprove. That sounds strong. Rebuke. Wow, that's something. Exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. What did he say? Hit it hard. But you be careful how you hit. Look, when I preach, I want to do it without apology, which means it needs to be done with doctrinal backing. It needs to be done with the Holy Spirit's help. And listen, when I preach, though, as I do this, let me tell you, I don't come to the pulpit to shoot at people. That's not my intent. I know preachers that do, and you might. I don't want to hear their name. I don't want to hear about it. But I don't come to the pulpit in my church and just taking pot shots at people. Look, if I felt like there's something that you and I need to talk about, I'll just say to you, hey, let's chat, and we can chat for a second, and I'll try to help you to make adjustments that you need to make. But I don't need to climb up here in this pulpit and take a shot at somebody publicly. I don't work that way. I've tried to never work that way. But listen, we need to be able to have good, strong preaching. But hey, and those of you that are in our ministries, I'm not the only one that preaches around here. We have people that preach on buses and people that teach Sunday school classes and that preach children's churches and primary churches. And hey, I'm for everybody here. You preach. And you can preach hard. But you make sure that that long suffering is in there. And you also make sure that it's not become personal between you and somebody. What you're doing is for their good, not for their harm. And hey, if what you're preaching is purity, I'm for it. And if it's separation, I'm for it. But you've got to be careful. You're not trying to start a war. That's not the intent. So one of my goals is that we can preach and stand for the truth strongly, but not offensively. One of my goals is that we will win souls, but also follow up on those souls. One of my goals is that we will build buildings and increase our ministry and get more property and more equipment, but not to the destruction of everybody financially. I want us to grow numerically, but I want us to know each other. And I want that family atmosphere that is available. And folks, a church can grow and do that, but it takes the effort of everybody. You'll never stay personal if you got somebody griping about, well, I just don't know everybody's name. I'd ask, have you gone around and tried to meet them? You're just a griper if you're that way. It's doable. But let me go on. Number five. One of my goals is that I want people to be used by God in our church, but not abused in His service. Used by God, but not abused in His service. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 10, God, He is delivering His sheep out of the mouth of the shepherd. In other words, there was a type or a style of leadership that was being used by the shepherd that was virtually abusive. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. I want you and I want us to treat each other with dignity. Everybody under the sound of my voice, when you lead in our ministry, I want you to be good to one another. You don't need to be mean to each other. Now, leaders, I'm not afraid for people to lead. I want you to step up and lead. But don't lead with hatred, and don't lead with intimidation. Look, if you're a grown man and you have to get huffy and puffy and threaten some little kid, that's not real good leadership. You stay in control of yourself. You keep your strengths under control. And I want people to be used of God, but not be abused in His name. And might I say this also, a philosophy that I learned from my mentor, which is well worth living in this generation and the next. I was taught, we are not to use our people to build our work, but we are to use our work to build our people. And that, and I want that to be my philosophy of ministry. What are you trying to get out of those Sunday school teachers? Really, that's contrary to my thinking. My thinking is, what am I trying to put into those Sunday school teachers? What are you trying to get out of those bus captains? I'm not trying to get anything out of those bus captains. I'm trying to put something into those bus captains. I was so excited the other day in the bus meeting. One of my bus captains said, "Can I give a quick testimony?" He started talking, and he said, just the other day, he started talking about somebody that came on his bus, and then they came, and then somebody else came on, and he was so pumped and so excited. You know something? That was good for that bus captain. That was good for him. You say, what do you want out of those ushers? You know, some you ushers, you need to understand something. We're not necessarily trying to get anything out of you. We want to put something in you. You have a chance to serve God. I don't want us to build a church at the expense of everything else. I don't feel that way. I think your family's important. I think your personal finances are important, and I want to respect that. I don't want a man to be so busy serving here at the church that he never takes his wife out on a date. I think that man ought to be taking his wife out on a date. You ladies, you need to say, "Amen, preacher." I don't want a mama to be so busy down at the church that she doesn't have time to take her kids to the park. She doesn't have time to color some pictures with her kids, and she's being a bad mom because she's so busy at the church. And I'll try to protect that. I've through my ministry for years, I've said to people, you need to go home now. You've been here too much. I've said to people, there are people that I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, I'd like to give toward this or give toward that. I want to give financially." And I'll say, "You know, you've given so much. I can't ask you to do that." Now, preachers don't usually turn down the bucks, man. But I got to tell you something. I want you to pay your bills. I want you to have a good marriage. I want you to have time for your children. The work of the Lord will stay strong if we do keep ourselves strong. Now, some of you, there's no threat. You're not overgiving. You're not overserving. Not at all. It's time for some of you to come out of hibernation and get it busy and serve God. But I don't want people to be used of God, but then being abused while it's happening. And then, let me say this, and I've just got a couple more and we'll be done. Another goal. I would like us to love everybody, but not approve of everything. We'll love everybody, but we'll not approve of everything. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." Listen, there are Baptist churches all over our state. There would be a good handful of them that are old-time religion. I mean true blue old-time religion. But there would be a mass of them that are in the Bible Belt that desperately needed belted with the Bible. They have left their roots. They've left the King James Bible. They've left the old-time religion. They are a mess. They're religious, but not spiritual. Now, I'm not trying to start a war with them. I don't go around calling their names. But I need to say things like that every once in a while because we want to stay true to our roots. We need to stay old-time religion. There are all sorts of missionaries out there. We won't support them all. I'm not going to go around attacking them. But there's some of them I just wouldn't support. I don't think they're interested in the souls of men. I don't think they're really committed to the right cause. Now, I'm not going to spend all my time attacking them. I don't have time. If I've got energy to attack, I think I'll attack hell. But I want us to love people. I want us to love others, but I'm not going to accept and agree with everything. There are other preachers out there. They're good people. They're sincere people. I would not match up with them. I'm not going to spend my time smearing them on my blog or tweet against them I can't get on Facebook, but if I could, I wouldn't go on Facebook and say bad things about them. I don't have time for all that. I've got my hands are busy in the work of God right here in New Bern, and I'm not going to attack them. And I want to love them, but I'm not like them. There's some people I will love, but I will not fellowship with them. There's some people I'll love, but I'll not support. There's some people I'll love, but I'll not approve of what they're doing. I might not participate in what they're doing. They may not preach for me, and I may not preach for them. That doesn't mean that I won't love them. But there's a certain stand. There's a thing called an ecclesiastical stand, meaning within what we would call the realm of religion or fundamentalism. Just because somebody calls themselves a fundamentalist, according to the Bible, they don't all qualify. Now, I'll love them, and I won't spend my time shooting at them. But you have to understand, I won't hold hands with all of them. I won't join up with all of them. We won't go share with all of them. They can go their way. We'll go ours. And most of the time, we're just busy around here. We're busy around here getting the job done for God. And so, a goal, I'd like to love everybody. But to understand, we won't approve and associate with everybody and everything. Let me repeat myself, and then I'll give you my last point. I want us to grow numerically, but not become impersonal. I want us to build buildings and gain things for our ministry, but not the cost of us all falling apart financially to do it. I want to win souls, but I want to follow up on the souls that we've won. I want us to preach strong truth, but not in a strong, offensive way. I want us to be used of God, but not to abuse one another. And I don't want us to abuse the people and taking so much from them that they're failing in the other parts of their life. I would love for us to love others, but not necessarily approve and associate with all those others. And then finally, and I'm done with this, I want our church to know that when there is wrong within the church, it will be corrected and it will be disciplined. But it will not be corrected and disciplined by a bunch of cutthroat Pharisee vigilantes. It'll be done with dignity and propriety. Folks, I have what I think is a scriptural way of correcting things. There are people that said under the sound of my voice tonight, they have been corrected within your church. You don't need to figure out who they are. They've been corrected. They have been, if you like the word, they've been disciplined. But I didn't bring them up in front of the church and take a 2x4 to them and slap them around like you might think they ought to be. You say, why? I'm in the people helping business, not the people destroying business. And I'll tell you the day when that kind of discipline, you're going to disagree with it, it's when you're on the hot seat. And you're the one that they want to drag up in front of everybody and make them crawl down the aisle and quiver and beg for forgiveness. Nobody needs to beg you for anything. You're just a sinner saved by grace. If they need to beg anybody, it's Almighty God. And folks, when you mess up, let me make you a promise. You happen to have a pastor who's a sinner. And I was saved by the same mercy and the same grace you were. And God called me to pastor. I didn't qualify. Still don't. If you mess up, I will help you. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to hurt you. I will correct you. But you know something? Isn't it so much better to have someone correct you that loves you, that's not out to try to destroy you and try to humiliate you? If you goof up and you need some help, come see me. I might have to say, we need to change your duties around some. We'll get you rebuilt. We'll get you back in there someday, but for now, let's lay low. I wonder how strong churches would be across this nation if when people messed up, they were handled right. Instead of everybody jumping on that wounded soldier and trying to beat him up and humiliate them. You say, Pastor, why do you feel this way? Anything you're capable of doing, so am I. Yeah, I happen to believe I'd like to sow what I reap. If I ever goof up, I hope somebody will be patient with me. I hope they won't try to destroy me. I hope they'll be forgiving and understanding. But you know what I've noticed? I've goofed up, and has God ever come to any of you and spoken to you about my goof ups? What did he do? Did he deal with those in private? I'd like to be like God. Now, does God discipline us, folks? Yeah, he sure does. Does he write it in the newspaper? No. Does he go around the church and tell everybody? No. He'll come to you in the night. You'll toss and turn. You'll feel bad about it. You'll feel humiliated, but it's not because God printed it in the newspaper. God didn't go on Facebook and tell everybody. God doesn't have Facebook, but all of his friends are real. Yours aren't. I have some goals for our church. Those goals right there, I gave you 7 goals. Now, if you and I would work together to behave that way in our church, the goals that you think we would set about Sunday school classes and bus routes and big capacity for seating in an auditorium, the starting of ministries, attendance goals, that's the easy part. Anybody can do that. You got to come by way of the other goals first. I promise you, I've watched young men try to build works for years. Their goal is to get a certain number of bus routes and a certain number of Sunday school classes and start all these ministries and get them a college and get them a school. Those are all my goals. I've never had those goals. My goals are to teach people how to live right and how to do right. And you know something? You end up having to have all those other things just to service all the people that come around to learn how to live right and do right. We get the cart before the horse. The big stuff, that comes. We just got to live right. We just got to live right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, we welcome you to the Savior. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, no, I don't know that, then you ought to come and be saved tonight. You ought to be born again. If you're in this church, you've heard some goals that I have for our church. I'm sorry to disappoint you if you thought that I was going to make numerical statements. Those will come. These are more powerful goals. These are more thorough and deep goals. I believe that God has spoken to our hearts. We're learning God's way. God's way of building things, building ministries, building people. That's what we're learning. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I'll join with you. I want to make some of those goals my goals as well. And preacher, I'm going to help. I want to help. I want to contribute in that way to the growth of this ministry. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hand down. We'll have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you're not born again and you want to be saved, if you'll come, I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Think through those goals. I know the excitement of lots of buses and lots of Sunday schools and starting this and starting that. The whole key and the whole goal to it all is the way we behave and the way we live. Greater goals than numerical goals are our behavior goals. You show me an old-time religion church that has the balance of proper behavior. I really don't believe anything can stop it. Tough day and age in which we live, but you can still build an old-time religion church if you do it God's way. We will take a stand for what's right here in our church. promise you I will do my dead level best to take that stand and treat people with dignity and kindness. But we will take a stand. We will not change the old time religion. We will continue to preach the truth. But its intent will not be to try to destroy people, but to try to train them and grow them. This is the last time through the song, and in a moment we'll have a business meeting and we'll be on our way.